Hey, Jessica, have you been reading up on actuators? This chapter on them is mind-blowing.
Actuators? Oh yeah, the stuff that does things, right? I skimmed it. Seemed pretty dense. What got your attention?
Well, it starts by saying that actuators are all about action. They're the things that cybernetic systems use to make changes in the real world. The chapter breaks it down into different types, from physical to informational. It's all about what can be sensed and then what can be done based on that sensing.
Okay, so sensors see and actuators act. Makes sense. But what kind of actions are we talking about?
Everything. The chapter says, we can probably actuate anything sensors can sense. It's like, if a sensor can detect something, we can build something to do something about it. But it also points out that we can't create everything a system can observe. Like, we can't build a real galaxy, even if a system can see one.
Right. There's a difference between observing and creating. And that difference can be exploited, the chapter says.
Exactly. Let's dive into the different types. First up, physical actuators. These are the ones that directly change physical properties. The chapter breaks them down by size, states of matter, and environmental conditions.
Size? How does that matter?
Well, it goes from nano to vast. Nano is molecular level, like tiny little machines. The chapter says, actuators today can be built through nano manufacturing to be so small that they float on the wind. Imagine that. Then, vast is like using a nuclear explosion to move something in space. Talk about a scale difference.
Okay, so what about states of matter?
The chapter points out that actuators can use solids, liquids, gases, plasma, and even more exotic states. Think about water. Water is liquid state is used as an actuator in many ways, from a leveler when things are floated on it, to a spray similar to sandblasting, sand is a solid, to a fluid coolant for saws and other cutting tools and so forth.
Wow, I never thought about water that way. And gases too, right?
Definitely. Gases are used for everything from heating to freezing, and plasma has uses like welding and fluorescent lighting. The chapter also mentions how environmental conditions affect them. For example, at low temperatures, many liquids turn to solids, which makes them poor lubricants in those conditions.
That makes sense. So, the environment really dictates what an actuator can do.
Precisely. The chapter even mentions the equation PV equals NRT, pressure, volume, number of molecules, constant, temperature, and how you can manipulate those factors to change the environment and the actuator's effects. It says, all components are subject to operational constraints associated with the environments in which they operate, and in many cases, different operating environments can have dramatic effects on the acts produced by the use of the same actuators.
Okay. What about mechanical actuators? Those are the ones we usually think of, right?
Yep. They range from tiny to huge. The chapter says, essentially, anything that moves under control is potentially a mechanical actuator. Think kinetic weapons, openers and closers, locks, pressure-based mechanisms, levers, burrowers, and tools. It even mentions some crazy examples like snake-like tools that flex and bend their way through your body to get to internal locations, then cut, close, and carry things in and out to perform operations.
Whoa, that's intense.
Then there are sound and waveform actuators. The chapter explains that sound is just waveforms in a medium. It talks about how sound can be used as a weapon, like in the M-Culture project, and how you can use it to make people hear voices or even break objects. It says, by sending sound waves in resonant frequencies with objects and at high enough volume, the objects can be made to break, for example, sound-breaking glass, heat up, generate other sounds in different frequency ranges, move, or otherwise act in various ways.
That's wild. What about ultrasound?
Ultrasound is also mentioned. It's used for medical imaging and treatments. The chapter says, from seeing babies growing in the womb to destroying cancerous regions in the body, high-frequency sound waves are effective actuators.
Okay, So sound is a big deal. What else?
Ground waves. Waves in water and explosives are also mentioned. The chapter says explosives and shockwave actuators range from pop guns to nuclear weapons and include essentially all explosive devices.
This is where it gets really interesting, right? The digital stuff.
Absolutely. The chapter breaks it down into analog systems, finite state machines, digital, industrial control systems, operational technology, the Internet of Things, and lasers. It says, most modern physical actuators are initiated and controlled electrically or hydraulically, and in many cases, these involve computer control mechanisms or other similar digital mechanisms.
Analog systems are like the old school stuff, right? Like the nightlight that turns on and off slowly?
Exactly. And the power grid is a huge example. Then there are finite state machines, which are the building blocks of digital systems. The chapter says FSMs, at the digital level of analysis and understanding, follow a different physics than the physics of analog continuous systems and usually involve finite time granularity, and because they are digital, finite values, 0 or 1, for each bit they represent.
And then we get into industrial control systems and operational technology. That's the stuff that runs factories and other critical infrastructure.
Yep. The chapter says, industrial control systems, ICS, are usually electrically controlled cybernetic systems that take inputs from process sensors and produce outputs to process actuators, causing the processes under control to operate in an intended manner based on their design. And operational technology, OT, is a more recent term for a wide range of industrial and non-industrial control systems and mechanisms that produce physical effects.
The Internet of Things is next, right? All those connected devices.
Right. Home automation, office systems, hobby kits. The chapter says, IoT technologies are generally understood to be small, low-power devices individually controllable over the Internet, as opposed to controllable through an overarching specifically designed control system.
And lasers. They're used for everything from cutting to communications.
The chapter highlights the lack of beam divergence, which makes them great for long-distance communication. It also mentions the incredibly small wavelengths they can operate at, allowing for incredibly precise actions. It says, because lasers can operate at optical or higher frequencies and cut or etch patterns in other materials and be controlled very precisely, they are used to manufacture integrated circuits.
And the chapter also mentions the malicious uses of lasers, like shining them into people's eyes.
Exactly. It also talks about lights and displays and how they can be used to cause seizures, visual dizziness, and even deception. It says, displays shined on media include things like display glasses that show graphics on top of direct visuals from the environment, displays on walls shown from small display generators, laser scanned on a mist in the air, showing apparent three-dimensional 3D images, holographic displays, and more. These can also be used to provide information to sensors so as to trick the sensors into sensing things that produce observables, not reflective of physical reality.
Okay. So all of this is used in infrastructures, right? Power grids, telecommunications, financial systems, and so on.
Absolutely. The chapter gives examples for each. For power grids, it talks about generators, transformers, circuit breakers, and more. For telecommunications, it covers line switching, circuit switching, packet switching, and provisioning systems. It says, infrastructures are packed full of cybernetic mechanisms of all sorts and are critical to supporting most aspects of society, including many cybernetic systems that depend on them.
And financial systems use ATMs, vaults, printing presses, and electronic mechanisms.
Yep. And health services use a vast array of actuators, from pills to medical devices. The chapter says, actuators in health services range over a vast spectrum, from pills you swallow to prods that poke you. All sorts of mechanisms are used to act for and on people.
Emergency services are also packed with actuators.
Yes, from fire trucks to ambulances to rescue operations. The chapter says, Emergency services save lives and reduce property damage, and use a wide variety of different actuators to do that.
What about the other categories? Physics, chemical, and biological.
Physics covers nuclear weapons, medical devices, and power generation. Chemical actuators include poisons, suppressants, and accelerants. Biological actuators involve nano, micro, and mini bioactuators, as well as populations and ecosystems. The chapter says, in the biological arena, actions come in the form of the release of non-replicating or replicating molecular and larger structures into environments.
And finally, informational actuators. Those are the ones that use information to cause effects, right?
Exactly. The chapter says, informational actuators, in the sense here, are actuators that cause indirect effects. It talks about how digital systems are really analog at the circuit level and how information can be used to manipulate systems. It gives examples like what you see versus what you get, supply chain effects, cybernetic system behavioral changes, financial effects, effects on individual decision-making, physiological effects, reputational effects, emotional effects, individual and group psychology effects, and political effects.
Wow, that's a lot of ways to influence people and systems.
Basically, this chapter shows that actuators are everywhere, and they can do almost anything. The chapter concludes by saying, the current capacity and potential future capacity of the technologies available today for actuation are so vast that it's hard to even conceive of some action physically possible and not attainable based on what we already know and can do.
It's a bit scary, but also fascinating. The potential for both good and bad is huge.
Definitely. It really makes you think about how much of our world is controlled by these systems and how vulnerable we are to them.